I got a little piece of scripture just for you this morning that the Lord just kind of put upon my heart. And I was honestly, this was kind of one of them things that that the Lord just, you might say, I don't want to use this word, but I can't think of another word, kind of forced me into. It was just one of them kind of one of them words that the Lord just, because I was looking this new first Sunday of the new year, and I kind of been in this direction and flow of something else anyway, and I kind of was looking for something a little different, but the Lord put this in my heart, and I just trust Him. I trust Him completely this morning on this. And I'll just share with you the title before we read the text this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the three voices of comfort. Three voices of comfort this morning. And I want to pull a scripture out of the Old Testament, Isaiah 40. And Isaiah 40. And you can stand. We'll read this, and then we'll pray, and then we'll let the Lord have His way. Someone said I was in danger of getting a ticket up in here the other day. They was telling me, they wrote me a little thing on my Facebook, said I was in danger of getting a ticket from the police. They said I'd been preaching 45-minute sermons in a 25-minute sermon zone. And I said, well, you'll have to book me because I am a habitual offender. Matter of fact, I giggled a little bit, and I said, man, you'd be lucky to get me 45 minutes. And all the new people's got big eyes right now. Amen. But anyway, we'll do the best we can. Amen. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. Love this piece of scripture. I have preached the back end of Psalms 40 and a little bit in the middle, but I don't think I've ever gathered up what God says in His word right here. Listen to what He says. He says, comfort ye. And how many know if God says it twice, it is something big. Anytime God's word is repetitive, he's not trying to fill gaps like preachers do sometimes. He's really got something to say. And He's saying something of a huge importance to His prophet, to His people. He says, comfort ye, my people. See, that's what God sent me here to do this morning. He sent me here for that. Saith your God. Now listen what it says. He says, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. See your God. Behold, the Lord God will come. Praise his name. He'll come, and he'll come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He shall gather the lambs. Somebody say gather. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. He shall carry them in his bosom. Somebody say, hold them. He's going to hold them. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. Beautiful scriptures. Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for this congregation that's gathered. And Lord, we unite our prayers together, Lord, that your word may speak this morning. Lord, I pray for this anointing, that I can speak the words of comfort to your people this morning, dear God. Even according to this text, according to this scripture, though I know this was a part of the old covenant and speaking to some of the old covenant people, Lord, help me to relate it even to, in our new covenant, dear God. And by the great name of Christ Jesus, bless our time. Use it for your glory, Lord, that your glory might be revealed in this place today, dear God, and that hearts will gain encouragement. And Lord, that this will definitely not be a message of hype, dear God, for the new year, but this here is a message, Lord God, of hope for the new year and for strength for the new year. So, Father, bless your people here that's here this morning, Lord. Use it for your glory. And use it for the kingdom, Lord. And bring hearts to you, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll gather in this place. You'll gather lambs. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll hold lambs. I pray this morning that when we leave here, we'll leave here being led by you, our shepherd. We love you and we praise you now. And all the glory is yours. In the name of our soon coming King, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And all the church agree and say, amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord this morning. Shepherd, oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you just to have a heart in your kingdom, just to be a minute piece, Lord God. I thank you. And I give you glory, all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I thank you this morning. I thank you. You can be seated if you can, and if you can't, that's fine too. Amen. Amen. Like I said, I don't really have a message this morning per se. I have more of an assignment. That's what I really view this is, as the Lord put it upon my heart. It was somewhat of more of an assignment. And I felt of the unction of the Lord to come here this morning to speak comfort and to speak from this passage. Because you can speak, there's much to be said about comfort. The world's got all kind of ideas about comfort. There's other ideas even in the biblical scriptures about comfort. You could pull various scriptures this morning and speak for hours about comfort. But from this passage, because this was God, that's what really stirred me about this. That's how God really stuck it in my heart, is how concerned and how urgent and how important it seemed to be to God the Father that this word be spoke. So much so that he repeated it repetitively to make sure. Sometimes us servants, us mouthpieces of God, we need a repetitive word. Sometimes I need two witnesses or 14 or 27. You know, I was like the guy that wanted a donut at the donut shop, but he said, I need a sign, because he was trying not to eat so many donuts. And he, after the seventh time around the block, there was a spot open. So he said, that's got to be God. Kept circling. It's got to be. Well, sometimes I'm like that, and I sense that in this, that God was really, really urgent or really desirous that his people hear this word comfort. And if you look at this passage, of course, in its true text or in true context, it was to a people that had been under Babylonian rule, and that was winding up. Their time of being captive was coming to an end, and we know that even as that was kind of the punishment or the penalty of the old covenant people, Israel's sin and their rebellion and them taking false gods, and God had packed them up and sent them to Babylon. Well, that was coming to an end, and he wanted his prophet to really speak to even those that were returning and to speak this word of comfort, this word of comfort to them. The voice of comfort. That's really what he was after. He wanted them to hear this voice and hear that it was him. That's the other powerful thing about this text. Is this wasn't, he wasn't, it's not just, I don't want you, and I go try my best to relate this morning. I will really fail at bringing you the voice of God's comfort this morning. You'll hear my voice. And I pray that my voice is a voice of comfort. But I want you to hear way beyond my voice. I want you to hear what God was saying. I want you to hear His voice. Because His voice of comfort will be so much more than mine. Because I will fail in that regard. Because sometimes I have been known to be called Mr. Compassion, you know. And that's sarcastically. But I want you to hear it from God's heart. Because I guarantee you what God said, He wants it to be transferred into the heart of His people. And He wants them to hear what He's saying. But here's kind of the setting now. Here's kind of the setting. Here was a group of people that were His people under the old covenant. And it's no different today. We're His people. If you're here this morning and you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've believed in His work, what He did on the cross, how He died, how He lived the sin of us. We just celebrated Christmas, how He was born of a virgin and He lived a perfect life and became the sacrifice for us, and His blood was shed and it went on the mercy seat of God, and therefore all the world's sins, even up to now and in whatever time is left, you have the ability to be forgiven, whosoever shall. We understand that. And because of the resurrection, and when we put belief and faith in that, that's our way of coming into the covenant. We become in the new covenant, this grace that saves, and the faith that brings us to Him. And it was similar to their old covenant, except they was in symbols and signs and blood of oxen and blood and priests and ceremonies and all that. But that was their way of being able to come near to God. Well, here was a people that had sinned and had rebelled and had come against God and had failed, had fallen so far. And here's what God come to them in His heart, what was in His heart. He wanted them to hear. He wanted them to hear it because they were still His people. And He wanted them to hear comfort. Even though they were now suffering and struggling under the weight of where they were at. They were struggling. They had come to a place and they had sinned. They had come against God and they were suffering the consequences. I've come to talk to you really this morning about that because it's not any different in our new covenant. It's not any different. I know our church age looks at it different now. I know there's so many views of what it even means to be saved nowadays, and what it means to even come to Christ. But I guarantee you, in the churches that's gathered, not only here, but all over our world today, all over America today, there's believers in sin. I said there's believers in sin. I'm going to say that again. I told the Lord, I said, it's going to be tough to begin with. But there's believers in sin. And that's the thing about that is they're in the same place that these old covenant believers were at. They're in a place of misery. They're in a place of struggle. They're in a place that they're suffering for the consequences of that sin. How many know, if you are a believer, and you sin, there's consequences. There is consequences. There's consequences for that sin. The Bible tells us that real plain, and we'll talk maybe a little bit about that in a minute. But that's kind of the setting of that before we go any further. That just kind of sets the scene. These were a people that believed God, but they had sinned, and now they were living out their consequences of that. And God speaks to His prophet, and He says, I want them to know, first of all, that I care. I want you to hear that this morning. If you're in here this morning, you're suffering the consequences of sin. And a believer, God cares. And that was the first voice He wanted to make sure they heard. Because He tells them in verse 2, go to verse 2 for me, Heavy. Verse 2, He says, if speak ye comfortably. Speak ye comfortably. And that word, that's what it is. It's a word of care. It's a word of compassion. Speak that I care. Speak a word of affection. Speak a word that's heartfelt. This morning, even as I studied this week, I sometimes have so failed this verse to speak to believers that are in sin that God cares. Sometimes I'm much too prone to speak judgment. I'm much too prone to come down hard. I'm much too prone to come in man's mind. See, there's been times that I would say, well, they're getting what they deserve in Babylon. But God says, no, don't speak that. Make sure what you speak, that it comes across with a voice of care. A voice of compassion. A voice of love, affection. Feelings of care. I just want to tell you something this morning. God cares. You that are under the consequences, under the struggle, you that believe with all your heart, I know you do. But yet, under the consequences of sin, God cares. He cares for the struggle that you're in. He cares for the consequences that you're now under. It's quiet up in this Pentecostal Holiness Church this morning. Amen. I told you, I wasn't here for the hype. I love hype when it's real, when it's real Holy Ghost move. But this is the assignment. But speak contra, speak with this heart. Speak with a mind of care. Speak with such care to the people. Speak in such a way, because here's really the heart of it. Here's what I know about believers, and even these believers in this story that's been under the weight so long of the consequences. There's a lot of them is right where these people were. They've had enough. They've just had enough. See, that's what I know. Sin in itself is kind of corrective, because it gets so heavy and it gets to be such a struggle that a lot of times it takes people to the place that they've just had enough. And yet God viewed these people after all this captivity and all this struggle, all this warfare. He knew they'd had enough. Some of you in here this morning, maybe you've had enough of the weight, of the struggle, of the toil, of the wear, the tear, the stress, the unrest, the chaos, the fret. We could go on and on for all the things. The hardness of the way. Oh, I know there's moments and spurts that we can ignore and we can push aside, but the truth is it comes back. These people had enough. They had lived under the consequences of these sins for so long. They had been reaping the consequences. How many know we do? The Bible tells us that in Galatians, and that don't be deceived. God is not mocked. He is not. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. He's talking about believers as well. He shall reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall reap corruption. How many know that? It's heavy. The old prophet said it like this. Maybe you'll understand it a little better in your mind. He said, if you sow to the wind, you shall reap a whirlwind. How many know? We get enough. It gets to the place where we get enough. I believe in here this morning, these people in here that's had enough. The scriptures tells us in this text that we was reading that they got double in Isaiah 40 and 2. They had double for their sin. I mean, that's usually that's the worst sin. Sin promises so much, but it don't tell you the payment plan. And it is. It's like double for all her sins. How many know that? That equals, it gets, becomes enough. So here was what he comes saying. He come telling that there's pardon. I want you to hear that this morning. He come telling them that there's pardon. Pardon for the believer. How many know this Bible, this word is full of folk who were a part of God's covenant, old and new, who believed and sinned and fell under the weight of its consequences. Heavy, heavy weight. One, the throne of Jesus Christ, David's throne, the eternal throne, man that fell under. But there was pardon. I've come to speak to you this morning who's had enough. There's pardon. There's pardon. God so cares this morning. There is pardon. There is pardon. I like the way all this kind of keeps heading towards this view of the prophet breaking loose in the latter part of what we read, telling us to behold our God. Behold our God, he keeps saying. Behold our God. Behold your God, he's telling the believer. Behold your God. You that's had enough, look to your God. You that's under the weight, look to your God. And he brings in this analogy of our strong-handed shepherd. Woo! Glory to God. A strong-handed shepherd whose arm is strong. And he says these three things about him that he once portrayed out of that care. He's come now to gather. And he's come to hold. And he's come to lead, to guide you. That's what he's come for. That was the voice of care. That was the voice of him. So this morning, first thing I would ask you, man, if you've just had enough, behold your God. Look to your God. Your God cares this morning. He cares that you toil. He cares that you struggle. He cares that you're under such a weight. He cares that you stress. He cares that you're in bondage. He cares that you're under the consequences. He cares. My God, he cares. I care, don't you? Don't you care when you see those that you love under the misery, under what it brings? He cares. He cares. The second voice that appears in this text this morning goes to verse 3. It's the next voice. It was the voice of speaking comfortably, or the voice of care, but now it's the voice. He says, I want them to hear this voice. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. Every valley, of course, in analogy or in the reality of it, they were coming from where they were coming, and he was clearing the path. And of course, we know that this is also the prophetic utterance of John the Baptist. It's going to come, and they're going to prophesy the coming of our great Savior Jesus Christ, and salvation is going to be made nigh unto all. But in this text, he's prophesying it or preaching it for the first time, and he's making God's heart known. This is how much I care. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and every hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, or shall be seen. It's the second voice. The second voice is a voice of power, or a voice of anointing. He wants us here this morning. Those of us that fall sometimes under the weight of missteps, sin, unbelief, false ways. He wants us to hear the voice. He wants us to hear the voice of power. The voice of an anointing. I love this. You know what? Many years ago, you know what come in my mind when I first read these passages many years, and I still can't get away from it. It always comes back. It comes rushing back every time I read this passage, or even the passages in Matthew where it talks about John the Baptist and how he shall come. But I keep thinking, I always go back to that, to the anointing. There's such an anointing. There's such an anointing of God trying to get to us and what he's trying to do. And some of you remember this. I preached one time about bulldozer anointing. There's a bulldozer, and that's what he's speaking of. There's this bull. That's how much God cares. There's this bulldozer anointing. A highway. He's a road maker. I know sin has left you feeling like you're so far away. Even the believer. See, that's the problem. Sin makes the believer believe he's even so far, that he's so far away. He's so isolated. He's desolate, and it feels that way. He's dry. There's obstacles. There's this deepness of the valley, these low places. And God said, there's this anointing. He said, he wants you to hear his voice. It's a voice of power. It's an anointed voice that can make a way into dry places. Right where you sat this morning, in dry, desolate places. See, sin does that, don't it? It puts us in desolate places. But God cares. He do. He cares. And it's this voice of power that's really an anointing, a bulldozer anointing to prepare a way to the Lord. I just want to tell you something. I don't know how far away you feel this morning. I don't know what you did last night, last week, or for the past 10 years. I just want to tell you there is such an anointing from God that can bring you nigh today. There is a road today. There is a path today. Oh, yeah. Glory. There is an anointing today that can bring you so far away. In the midst of your dryness, he says, I got a way to come through the desert and the wilderness. In the midst of the valley, which we're seeing leaves us. You know, I'm telling you the truth. Sin leaves you so low. So low. Whether you're a believer or not, it leaves you so low. In valley. He says, there's an anointing to fill the valleys. There's an anointing to tear down the obstacles, the barren crevices of high obstacles, the unfruitfulness of mountains that block the way. He says, there's an anointing to remove that. Crooked places, straightened, false ways, bad turns, wrong turns, bad ideas. Ain't everybody in here take the right road all the time. I learned a long time ago, don't nobody do holiness real good all the time. Rough places. You're in a rough place this morning. He makes it smooth. Potholes of immorality. Potholes of negativity. Ruts of habits. Ruts of habitually going down the same. There's an anointing here this morning to take you out of habits and ruts, potholes, because God cares. He cares so much, he wants you to hear his voice of power in the midst of the wilderness. He wants you to hear his voice You know what he wants you to hear? He wants you to hear, look at your God. If you're here this morning and you're stuck in the habitual or the immoral or that keeps putting distance between you and God, that keeps separating you, I've come to tell you this morning, you need to look at your God. You need to behold your God. You know what your God wants to do this morning? He wants to gather you. He don't want to beat you. He wants to gather you. He don't want to show you up or condemn you. No, that's people, the devil, and sometimes yourself. He wants to gather you. He wants to hold you. He wants to hold you. He wants to hold you. God wants to hold you this morning. That's what our shepherd wants to do. He wants to hold you. Oh, I wish I could preach what I've read in this text this morning. I wish I could force you to feel what I know God wants you to feel. He wants to hold you. He wants to guide you. He wants to guide you. Oh, bless his name. Sin has left us in misery. And sin has left us away from God. And then this last voice that comes clear in verse 6. It says, then the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? He says this, all flesh is grass, and even the goodliness thereof, the good of the flesh, is as the flower of the field. Grass withereth, flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the word of God, the word of our God, standeth forever. It's the last voice, really. And it's, if there's to be any comfort, I believe you have to have a voice of care. Don't we get great comfort out of knowing that somebody cares? I see people all the time, they'll comment even on somebody's Facebook thing, and they're not even really, really close or friends, but they'll comment something because that shows that they might care, could care, possibly. And I see people get comfort out of that. There's a great comfort. So, man, God does care. He does. That was the first. God wants us to know that so that we'll have comfort in this place this morning. Even those of us ain't getting it right. It ain't got it all right. And then he comes with this voice of power, because people feel desolate and helpless when they're stuck behind so many obstacles. There's very little hope. When you're in the deep valley, behind the great obstacle of impossibility, improbability. I know what that was like. I sat on a pew one time many years ago under the influence of so many habits that I even told God, as he dealt with me with great conviction of his spirit, I told him, I said, do you see the mountains? I didn't say it like that, but that's what I was saying. Do you see the mountains? You know what's in my life. Do you see them? And I heard the voice of power. Hey! I heard the voice of power. Crying in the wilderness. And there was comfort. It was great comfort. But this last voice must be too, and it is simply the voice of truth. To have true comfort this morning, you need the voice of care. You need the voice of power. But you need the voice of truth. The voice of truth. Or if it's not true, comfort will fail soon as the lie is seen. So this last voice, he conveys telling us and telling them really what had happened in their life. They're 40 years into captivity, 40 years into the consequences of reaping corruption from what they'd sown. 40 years. What he was telling them, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth. And what he's telling them is sin has used up your flesh. Boy, ain't it true? He said, sin has used you up. Won't sin use us up? Sin uses us up. When you're a young man, you listen to me, young people. I know you don't believe this today. You're hearing this old gray-haired man preach this morning. But I just want to tell you something. If there's one thing I've learned, sin uses you up. It'll use you up. Sin will get the good out of you. He says, the flower faded. The goodliness. That was the good of it, little brother. Sin wants to steal the good that is in us. Flesh and the good thereof, sin using it up and leaves us with the weakness. I've prayed a many a prayer with men and women moments from death. First prayers they ever prayed, some of them laying on deathbeds. Bodies that had been used up. Used up. But somewhere even in the midst of that, they got wind of what God was wanting to tell these people. Somewhere they got wind. They got wind of the voice of the truth. And what God was even trying to, though the grass withereth and though the flower fadeth, though sin has used you up, he said, look at your shepherd. Look at your God. Look at him. Behold your God. You might be here this morning. Sin's got the best of your life. Got the most of your life. I got a word for you. Look to your God. Look to your God. Look at him. Look at the strong hand of your shepherd that wants to gather. He didn't come to chase you off this morning. Oh, no, he come to gather you. He come to hold you. He come to hold you. Go ahead, Paul. He come to hold you. And he's come to guide you. Whatever's left. Whatever's left, he's come to guide all the way. Speak, he said. I know some of you sitting out there like, that's not been very comforting. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you're here this morning and you're under the misery of what I've been preaching, if you're under the misery of sin, and if you're here this morning and you're in the desolateness, and you're in the distant, far land of sin, or if you're here this morning and you've about used it all up and you know it, oh, this is great comfort, knowing that your God, your strong-handed shepherd still wants to gather you. Your strong-armed shepherd still wants to hold you. He wants to hold you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. Stand this morning. Like I said, it wasn't a message. It was an assignment. God sent me here on assignment this morning, because there's believers in this place just as well as they is every other place under the misery missing the mark, under the misery of coming short, under the misery. And in this place this morning, there's people that feel so far away. They feel so desolate. They feel so hopeless. There's a word of comfort, man. There's power this morning. There's an anointing that you can come nigh. You can come this morning. There's pardon. Look to your shepherd. Behold your God. Your strong-armed shepherd wants to hold you. I wonder, is there anybody in here this morning who wants to be held by their shepherd? Whether you've never come to Christ, or whether you've come to Christ and backslid, whether you've come to Christ in sin, whether you're a believer this morning and in sin, who wants to be held by their shepherd this morning? I want to be held. I want to be guided. I want to leave this place guided by Him. No more. No more of my own, but Him. The word of comfort. Your God cares. Your God cares. Your God cares so much. He stopped all of my plans and all of what I was going to do and sent me here this morning to tell you He cares. And I want you to hear His voice. I want you to hear it so clear that you'll come this morning and you'll tell Him, hold me. Hold me. Hold me. Hold me.